All right. Good morning, everyone. We are live. It is 9 o'clock. Let's go ahead and call to order today's advisory committee meeting. It is February 16th, 2023. And let's do roll call, please.
Good morning, everyone. This is the roll call for attendance of the February 16th, 2023 advisory committee meeting. For the non-agricultural pool, Chair Guy.
Present.
Ms. Brundage? Mr. Quach?
Present, sorry.
For the agricultural pool, Member Pearson?
Present.
Member Mr. LaBruchery? Mr. DeBoom? Mr. DeHaan? Mr. Feenstra? Mr. Heitzing? Mr. Petersma? Mr. Awan? Mr. Kazanjian? Mr. Medrano? For the Appropriative Pool Committee? Purba Community Services District?
Present, Chris Birch.
Minor 1, Nicholson Family Trust?
Present, Marty Zverbles.
Minor 2, West End Consolidated Water Company. City of Chino.
Dave Crosley.
City of Chino Hills.
Ron Craig.
City of Ontario.
Christopher Quach is representing the appropriate pool for City of Ontario today.
Thank you. City of Pomona. City of Upland. Cucamonga Valley Water District.
Eduardo Espinoza here.
Fontana Union Water Company. Fontana Water Company.
Chris Feely present.
Monta Vista Water District.
Justin Scott Coe present.
Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Did we miss anyone? All right. Are there any additions or reorders to today's agenda?
None from staff, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? All right. That gets us to our consent calendar. We have items A, B, C, D, and E. If there is no desire to pull any of those items, I'll entertain a motion to approve today's consent calendar.
Chris Birch, JCSD, motion to approve.
Thank you.
Jeff Pearson, second.
Thank you, Jeff. On this, we will call for dissent. Any dissent on the items on today's consent calendar? Hearing none, thank you very much. That gets us to item 2A. It's our business items. It's the budget amendment to the existing Safe Yield Court Order Implementation Plan. Peter, do you have a report on this?
A brief report, Mr. Chairman, members of the advisory committee. This is a budget amendment to perform work that was requested by the appropriative pool. The budget amendment was recommended for advisory committee by the appropriative pool, as it was recommended by the agricultural pool. It was also recommended for approval by the advisory committee by the non-agricultural pool on the condition that the non-agricultural pool would not bear any of the cost. Happy to answer any questions about that. We're looking for the advisory committee's decision. This is a budget amendment that, since it is of that nature, it requires advisory committee approval before the board can adopt.
Wonderful. I'm happy to answer any questions about the non-ag position. I mean the basic statement we would make would be, we're happy to have appropriators be able to test their systems, but non-ag just doesn't have any systems and doesn't want to pay a small portion of that. So,
are you looking for a motion?
Yeah, I'll entertain a motion to approve this item, hopefully with a full cost being appropriative pool-based.
Well, as it was presented to the appropriative pool, we understood the expenses to be the entire amount. It was never discussed that this would be burdened on the non-ag, so I'll make a motion to pass.
Motion to approve the budget amendment with the full cost being borne by the appropriative pool. Do we have a second?
Agricultural pool will second that.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's go ahead and take a roll call vote.
A volume vote?
Volume vote, I'm sorry. No.
Give me 1 second. Minor one, Nicholson Family Trust. Minor two, West End Consolidated Water Company. City of Chino Hills.
Ron Craig, yes.
City of Chino.
Dave Crosley, yes.
Cucamonga Valley Water District.
Eduardo Espinoza, yes.
Fontana Union Water Company. Fontana Water Company.
Yes.
Grupa Community Services District.
Yes.
Buena Vista Water District.
Justin Scott Coe, yes.
City of Ontario.
Christopher Quach, yes.
City of Pomona. City of Upland. For the agricultural pool?
Jeff Pearson, agricultural pool, yes.
Non-agricultural pool?
Brian Guy, yes.
Mr. Chair, Alex, the motion passes.
Alex, yes? I'm sorry, this is Anna. It looks like the city of Upland texted and said that their vote is yes. They're having audio issues.
Okay, let me go ahead and adjust that. Thank you.
Upland would also be West End, minor two.
Mr. Chair, the motion passes unanimously.
Wonderful. Thank you, everyone. That gets us to item B. It's the OBMP implementation plan update. Pete, if there's anything new from you to report on this?
There's nothing new from my report on that. As I mentioned before, the board would be happy to hire a facilitator if the parties want one. And I'm looking for some advice to give to them from the advisory committee.
Wonderful. I know that we had held this over for a month pending some appropriative pool actions. Are there any updates on where that landed amongst the appropriators? And we also have an alternative recommendation that was provided by Monta Vista yesterday and Rogers to the parties. Justin, if you want to speak to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Watermaster staff, for circulating the alternative proposal at the earliest opportunity. And my apologies for not being there in person. I'm in Sacramento at a committee meeting. The proposed alternative motion is to retain a facilitator to assist in two items. One, resolution of disagreements between parties and Watermaster as to whether the 2020 OBMP update includes required actions. And that's the substance of the next business item, item 2C, and would seek to resolve that item. And then second, to initiate initial effort to assess the effectiveness of facilitation regarding amending the peace agreement, which is, I think, substantively the staff's recommendation. Just the reason for this is I think that there's some clear interest among many parties to hire a facilitator. Certainly, my understanding is that from many parties, the appropriate pool. And I think from the other pools as well, as a way of moving things forward. However, there's some clear confusion among many parties, in appropriate pool at least, as to what we're trying to move forward on, why, and on what terms, and whether we need a facilitator to do so. And there's some disagreement as well on the next item on required actions that being proposed by Water Master staff, or specifically whether they're required, not whether they're not good ideas, but just that issue. So we believe we have an opportunity to use the facilitator as a tool to resolve some of these near-term conflicts and clarifications and to achieve consensus on moving forward and then establishing a process for resolving other potential upcoming issues. Our understanding is that basin management has always been conducted by an agreement of the parties, peace agreement and so on. And we would like to continue with this established and successful process. So we believe that facilitation, both of the near-term management actions proposed by Water Master staff and or parties, if they also have proposals under our existing agreements, as well as an assessment of needed agreement amendments to more effectively manage the basin, sets us on what we believe will be a healthy and productive process. So the proposed, and finally, I would just say the proposed motion does cover both discussion items, both the one currently as well as the next one. So I'm happy to bring it forward after any staff presentation on item 2C, if that is the preference of the committee as well as of staff. And I'm happy to answer any questions and just put it out there for purposes of discussion and hopefully achieving the consensus we need in moving forward with this desired facilitation process. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Justin.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Justin kind of beat me to it. I was going to give a little explanation as to what the appropriate pool when he came out of closed session the other day was. And that was at that time, there was disagreement. And I think Justin really actually hit a lot of those points, that there was disagreement as to what we're doing, what are we trying to accomplish, and so on. And so at that, our recommendation at that time was to not move forward with facilitation. So that's just what we came out of the pool. Obviously, each party can vote however they see fit.
Wonderful. Any other comments from the room or from online?
Hi, Mr. Chair. This is Chris from Crossland, Ontario.
Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you very much, Brian. Just wanted to say Ontario completely supports Montevista's innovative proposal, and we would agree with Justin's statements that we hope this provides consensus on the facilitator and information moving forward on the proposed required actions by Water Master. We hope this is what the advice and assistance is that the advisory committee gives to the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else online?
Mr. Chair.
In the room, Marty?
Just question maybe for Justin on this proposal, I think. You know, I could see my way to support, you know, bullet point one, but I really question the wisdom of including, you know, future amendment of the peace agreement as part of the initial facilitation process. You know, I'm not disputing that, you know, once the amendment of that agreement commences, that facilitation might not be helpful and or appropriate. I just think that at this point, it may be, you know, better for us to focus on the key issues at hand. And so, although I appreciate, you know, your efforts in, you know, and thoughtfulness in putting this forward, I just think that if you could see your way to kind of stick to item one, that there may be an opportunity to get some support and move this thing forward.
Marty, the intent of using the language of amending the peace agreement was only because the existing recommendation to provide assistance on whether to retain a facilitator to assist with an update of the OBMP implementation plan. My understanding is to update the OBMP implementation plan, which is an exhibit to the peace agreement, would require an amendment to the peace agreement. So I just thought that would be more clear understanding and language that in updating the OBMP implementation plan would require an amendment to the peace agreement. If if there's greater comfort in at this time, retaining facilitator only to assist with an update of the OB implementation plan. If that's your preferred language, I'm fine incorporating that, as long as it's an understanding that doing so would require an amendment to the peace agreement. Did that make any sense at all?
Justin, if I may, I'm a little confused as to what the motion is, because you sent a couple of motions out there. Is your motion now to seek a facilitator to assist with the 2020 update, an implementation plan for that?
Let me read it again. My proposed motion for purposes of discussion is retain a facilitator to assist with the following. And there's two items. The first item is resolution of disagreements between parties and Watermaster as to whether the 2020 OBMP update includes required actions. So that's item one. And then item two, which was meant to be in alignment with the staff's recommendation, is the initial effort to assess the effectiveness of facilitation regarding amending the peace agreement. And I think what Marty is suggesting is that be changed from amending the peace agreement to updating the OBMP implementation plan, which I think I'd be open to.
So that I can further understand, the first motion, taking them one at a time, is to determine whether or not there, I'm assuming it's the items that Watermaster is wanting to move forward with, program element number 9 and I don't remember the other number, but it's water quality, 6. Item 6 and 9 is facilitation to see if that is something under the purview of Watermaster or something that we're wanting to evaluate. Is that correct?
Yes. So that, and they would both be what we retain a facilitator to do. So they're all part of the same motion.
Thank you. I'm struggling a little bit here. My understanding from the process that we've been talking about for the last several months was a little bit broader, and maybe we can even ask Peter to give a little guidance on that, on with regards to facilitation of the implementation plan itself. If Justin, maybe I misunderstood, but what I understand this is almost like facilitating a question on whether Watermaster has authority to do what staff is saying and legal is saying that they do have authority to do. I think that'd be a very different facilitation process than I think what we were originally discussing, but maybe I'm missing something.
It's adding an element to the facilitation. What it is, we're suggesting that let's use this facilitation process to address that item as well as the OBMP implementation plan, any needed amendments. And let's use the facilitation process as a tool to come to agreement. We've always come to agreement on what we need to do to manage the basin. We came to agreement around the peace agreement as well as subsequent management agreements and brought those forward. That's always been our process. And so we're suggesting, we're having a little bit of difficulties here. Let's use the facilitation process as a tool to come to agreement in regards to the recommendation to or the staff's recommendation to the board to move forward on these two specific items. Let's talk about it. Let's come to resolution and consensus. We've always done so in the past. We believe we can do so in the future. So that's what I meant with the first item, is to resolve this disagreement as to whether these are required actions. Let's all talk about it and let's determine collectively what we need to do.
Well, Peter, if you have any comments at this point, I guess one question I would have after hearing this discussion is, if we as a group decide to move forward with a facilitator, is the item C actions necessary, or is that sort of circumvented by bringing a facilitator on board?
Well,
loaded question, I know.
Yeah. So there are two things here.
And first of all, the notion that Water Master would be engaged in a facilitation process because some parties disagree on Water Master's interpretation of its mission is something that I would present to the board. I would tell you that's not really a subject that Water Master has to engage in a facilitation. It's not the sort of thing that the parties can discuss and decide or negotiate. It's Water Master's duty to manage the basin for both water quantity and water quality. That's clear in the judgment. That's our position, and it's not changing. We have budget workshops related to everything in the budget, and those two items is going to be my recommendation to the board that those items are included in the budget, and we can discuss them to the heart's content of anyone who disagrees. We're happy to do that. In item C, I will go into a little more detail about those items and why I think those items are essential for basin management and for the good of the parties that use the basin to meet the needs of their customers. As far as the facilitation for the implementation plan, I have to say my head is spinning a little bit because when we proposed that at the request of three parties, Monta Vista being one of them, we were directed to explore interest by all the other parties. And when all the other parties said yes, we proposed a facilitator. We took the advice of this pool to find an external facilitator. We found an external facilitator. That was last fall. And since last fall, there's been nothing but hemming and hawing about do we need a facilitator. Last month at the pools, the answer was we need 30 more days. Last week at the pools was we need an indefinite delay. And now, perhaps in light of the fact of essential management actions the Water Master wants to take forward, there's a recommendation that, oh, no, we should bring in a facilitator. I'll say it again. We recommended a facilitator for your implementation plan update discussions. Whether you want to hire one or not is up to you. But we, Water Master, will be happy to do that for you. We'll be happy to engage one. We don't have a stake in that outcome. If you don't want a facilitator, you don't have to have one. But please don't feel like you're engaging a facilitator will somehow oblige Water Master to negotiate what it believes is its powers and duties.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from the room?
One more.
Go for it, Chris.
I think one of the things you had said earlier, you've been consistent with those comments, Peter, but one of the things you had made a comment was if you didn't have every party saying that they wanted a facilitator, you weren't going to go through a facilitation process. Doesn't seem like you have everybody all aligned. So, yeah.
Mr. Chair, this is Justin.
Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I just to chime in with what Chris said, the goal of the proposed motion was to attempt to achieve consensus. If there's not consensus around around the proposed motion, and I'm not hearing a cheers and applause, which is fine, then it's probably not worthy of even putting it out there as a motion. So if there's any remaining concerns about it from the members of the committee, there's probably no point in moving it forward. But again, our goal really is to try to come up with a way to move forward all together. And again, I would reiterate, there are general parameters for Water Master's powers and duties. However, the way we have always historically moved forward is through achieving consensus. That is the standard operating procedure of this basin. It is not typical. I'm trying to think of an example where Water Master moved something forward without the consensus of the party. So I strongly urge, all of us, everybody, if this isn't an appropriate tool, let's find what the appropriate tool is. We believe, and again, we disagree a bit with the history that Peter related as far as our request for facilitator. We We simply requested that we all achieve consensus before moving forward with implementation, even including CEQA. And we're still trying to do so. So again, this is just the latest effort to try to achieve consensus. If it doesn't work, we'll keep trying, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. I'll entertain any other final comments from the room. I know, like Chris had mentioned, and what was taken into consideration of pools a month ago was it's either we're all on board or we're not. And I don't think everyone's on board at this point, unless there's some consensus we can strike today.
Mr. Chairman, as far as the agricultural pool is concerned, we discussed this at our pool meeting, given that it was a 30-day delay in a request for making a decision on bringing a facilitator in. We agreed that we would comply with the vote of the advisory committee and whether or not funding would be available through approval by the advisory committee. And we would provide whatever assistance and whatever physical presence necessary for the facilitation. But I agree, you know, the Water Master has got in its mind its obligations to conduct various services and perform based upon the judgment. And whether or not we get into a facilitation, I believe that Water Master will pursue its course. And we, as an agricultural pool, will assist Water Master in whatever method. So the decision today, you know, was really a delay of 30 days. And it was trying to obtain total consensus from all the parties. And without having total consensus, the agricultural pool will still work very closely with Water Master to fulfill any needs that it has. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. And the last thing I'll throw out to the room before we move on to item C is there any benefit to pausing our item B discussion and hearing what Peter has to say for item C? And do we think there's any reason we'd want to revisit, or are we just moving on? All right. Yeah, we'll move on from item B without any further advice or assistance from the committee. And we'll move to item C. Thank you, Peter.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So for item C, my report from last week at the pools remains the same. We did get some questions, and I think it would be helpful for members of the advisory committee to get maybe a little bit more, just a little bit more detail as to what we believe would be actions moving forward and why we believe those would be necessary for basin management, why we believe those would also be good for the parties. And to answer the comment by Monta Vista, we don't believe we need consensus, and we wouldn't dream of going forward without input, active input from the stakeholders, as we have always done. So the first one has to do with developing a water quality management plan. Our view is that more stringent water quality regulations have implications on the parties to the judgment and in the management of the basin. They have implications on water rights. They have implications on hydraulic control, on our salt nutrient management plan. They have implications on recharge. They have implications on the design of any storage and recovery program. They have implication on upstream of Chino Basin discharges to the Santa Ana River. In other words, they matter to what happens in this basin, and what happens in this basin matters to every party to the judgment. 10 years ago, we could have known TCP was coming, and we could have had perhaps a little more coordinated approach. Instead, we didn't. Would the response have been the same? Would agencies have waited? until their wells got shut down, or would they have been a little more proactive? So the questions we want to answer through a water quality management plan is, what's coming our way? And there's a pretty good tell out there. It's the UCMR. UCMR is continuously looking at the next generation of contaminants that will be regulated. So we also need to understand, and I appreciate Chino's perspective, that we do have an extensive water quality monitoring program. What we want to question with input from the parties is, do we have the correct water quality monitoring program? Are we monitoring things that perhaps we don't need to and we can drop them from the monitoring program? And are there things that we should be adding to this monitoring program that would give us a heads up? So looking at what's coming our way and what data do we need? We believe we can use the model as a tool to predict consequences and help proactive management of the basin. We believe there's a benefit in consolidating information. What are each individual party's water quality concerns? Those are, today, they're siloed in each individual agency. And we think a collective discussion of those would be particularly helpful. What treatment technologies are available? What consultants are being used? And how can we leverage that for the entire basin? We also think that a process like that would involve the regional board, and it would enhance our partnership with the regional board. Yes, they are a regulator. But in our case, because of the years of investing in their relationship with them, they're more of a partner than they are a regulator. And we think this would continue the relationship with them. It would give us the benefit of flexibility in dealing with the regional board. As always, we do think that the better planning there is in the region, the chances of grant success are better. And this region has success with grants. And finally, we believe this process would be great for gathering the information and then highlighting it, as we did with PFAS in a water quality colloquium. So I want to repeat what I said last week at the pools, that this isn't a process that would result in projects that parties have to do. Parties can agree to do projects on their own. They can negotiate to do projects on their own. They can do that through an implementation plan update or through other means, whatever they want to do. We're not going to force anyone to do projects, but the awareness of water quality issues coming is something that we believe Watermaster has a responsibility and a duty to do. Second, on a storage and recovery master plan, a little more detail again about what we're looking at. We're looking at, while the peace agreement, as Ontario pointed out, has some provisions in there about a storage and recovery, how it would be managed. At this point in time, we don't have any design parameters for storage and recovery programs. And we would like to support that. So if somebody is considering a storage and recovery program in the basin, they would know what to expect coming in. We would like to, through this process, with input from the stakeholders, provide the criteria that would be used to review and approve storage and recovery programs, program applications. So again, stakeholder input, the committee would help us come up with answers to questions like, how will Watermaster evaluate proposals? How would broad mutual benefit be defined? Will it be a single definition? Would it be multiple definitions that the project proponent could consider? Right now, we just have those words on paper. They mean many different things to many different people. For a project applicant to have confidence to put the effort required, it would be helpful to them to know, what do we consider broad mutual benefit? We'd like to work with stakeholders to help them understand, if there was a proposal that comes in, is it something that everyone has to participate in, or could it be a select few? We don't have any criteria or guidance on that. And that is something that we believe a joint effort with committee input would help develop that and would help make the ground ready for a storage and recovery application. Also, we haven't really identified, if there are impacts identified in a program application, what would be acceptable mitigation? If one of you were a project proponent, wouldn't you want to know what mitigation will be required of you to know if it's even feasible? Or are the conditions going to be so strict that you don't even bother with a program? Again, we think that should be defined, and that's what this effort would be aimed at. And also, we would like to use the model to look at different types of programs. There is the more conventional put and take. There's also a program that others have mentioned that is a take and put program. There are programs for 100,000, maybe a program for 300,000 acre feet. We don't know what the basin response will be based on today's conditions. And we'd like to have those answers developed in advance to help anyone who's considering a storage and recovery program application. Our approach is a two-year approach. We'd have meetings with stakeholders in year one to derive answers to the questions. And year two would be making the model runs. I do believe that the way we projected storage in the basin a few years ago is needs to be re-looked at. I do think that our annual data collection evaluation process is going to give us a window of, did we project things correctly? Are the actuals coming in where we said, where we thought they were going to come in? I do think that you got to remember the last 3 years were the three driest on record. Part of our recommendation in the budget for this coming year is to evaluate hydrologic extremes. What happens if you have a severe drought in the State Water Project and a severe drought locally? That affects storage. And that may affect storage to the extent we have not projected or modeled before. And I think, I do think it's more realistic to think that our available storage is going to be lower than we've thought in the past. Remember, long term, the projections for storage were a drawdown of storage. And eventually, long term out, there was MPI associated with that. That time frame may be accelerated. And the way to get out of that is storage and recovery programs, which are not going to happen overnight. This isn't like it's going to rain, we're going to put some water in the basin, it's going to take time and thought. So having a storage and recovery master plan is going to be an essential first step. And that's, we think about a two-year process, which we believe would be necessary. So I hope this is a little more helpful as to how we view those programs. And again, while we don't view them as negotiable, we would never dream of doing them without stakeholder input, because it is ultimately, while it is Water Master's duty, it is about the stakeholder's benefit. And with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the advisory, I would take any input you have to share with the board.
Wonderful. Peter, thank you for your report. We'll look around the room for anyone who's got comments.
I do.
Go ahead.
Peter, a couple of things I appreciate that you said there. First, on program element six, water quality, was the scope of what it is we do, what it is we study. We might decide we want to study more. We might decide we want to study less. So there's a potential cost savings there with studying less. If we study more, well, then we've asked to study more so that we can understand better what's going on underground. And so I think that's appreciated. On program element nine, I think probably all of your agencies in here that put contracts out for contractors to bid on project, they include with that a template contract that they will be expected to sign if they decide to engage in a project with the agency. And I think what I'm hearing you is basically saying the same thing. If you want to engage in a storage and recovery program in the Chino Basin, this is the contract, this is the deal that you will be signing up for. And so you'll know that in advance as to whether or not that's an attractive alternative or a project that you want to do in the basin. So I think that is very appropriate. The last item is I've heard this numerous times, and I agree with the parties that have mentioned this, which is the broad mutual benefit. What does that look like? As you said, it has many different definitions to different people. There is some definition there, 2% and leave behind and other items in there. But providing a more clear understanding of what that broad mutual benefit is, I think would be very beneficial to all parties involved. So I appreciate those comments and the approach of allowing all of us to participate in this process. And for these reasons, I support it.
Thank you. Dr. Birch?
Yeah, I'd like to kind of build on some of the comments that Chris made. Yeah, I think the process you outlined sounds very thoughtful, Peter. I'd like to focus a little bit on program element 9. It's like Groundhog's Day. Like, we've been talking about this for a decade, about making sure that we're in a position and we do all we can here to make sure that we're in the best position possible when those opportunities come around. From my perspective, and this isn't new to this group or anybody that listens to me, I feel like we've missed opportunities in the past because we haven't had our stuff together. And I don't want that to happen again. And this is still going to take time, I recognize. But, you know, when I look at the opportunities that are out there, and particularly the big one would be, you know, doing something with Metropolitan Water District. If, you know, we had the DYY program in the past that, you know, there's different parties may have different perspectives on it, but I think it was a good thing for the basin. Something like that will happen again in the future, and we need to make sure we're ready for that. And it sounds like some of the questions we've had in the past, you've identified them as things that we need to figure out going forward. The hydrology and everything, I appreciate looking at that too, because I think the world, we obviously know it is changing, and I don't want to miss those opportunities. And I think we need to treat it, if we do our stuff right in the next year or so and get that lined up, we can treat this more like a business. I think we're creating such a bureaucracy that we're our own worst enemy. And if we do this right, I think we'll have a script out there that will be very transparent to parties that want to participate in the basin. And we can really make some cool things happen. So I'm excited about that. And I'm super supportive of you and staff moving this forward. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Chris. Anyone else? Eduardo?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was thinking some of those thoughts that Chris Birch just mentioned. You know, eight years ago, 2015, we went into a drought, and of course, the basin helped us get through that. But I think a lot of us were, it was spoken, maybe unspoken. I hope a lot of us were thinking, but that we should be ready for the next drought, and we should think about precisely storage and recovery programs. And here we are, we just got through another drought. We're still not ready. And I think, you know, we need to start thinking about this. We need, this is, you know, it's an approach. I don't know who thinks it's perfect, but it's something. You know, I'm supportive of it. We're looking forward to finding ways, putting down a plan, like you said, to kind of start bringing concepts together, what rules might be, what, and any ideas that anybody else might bring. There's a lot of ideas in this room to put together a good, successful storage and recovery program. There's been complaints about the DYY program. So this is an opportunity to resolve some of those. Let's bring the group together and, you know, let's avoid what some of the issues might be for those parties, see if we could figure out a better approach. It's unfortunate that the DYY program, as far as we might assume, is chilled because of the challenges. But let's figure out how the program, a similar program, could be better, a larger program. So we're Cucamonga supportive of this approach, these mostly on storage recovery, and we'll also, you know, participate in water quality as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. Jeff, anybody? No?
Yeah.
You don't have to force yourself to say anything.
No, I pressed my green button, so you saw that. I'll tell you, Chris and Eduardo stole all my thunder, but
I honestly believe we need to be proactive. And we've missed a lot of opportunities in the past. And we need to develop a playbook. And the only way to do it is to move through this process so we can pick a choice of action that's appropriate to the condition of the basin at the time. And, you know, we think we've got that playbook, but I don't believe we do. We've missed opportunities. You know, we just, you know, for my friends in the appropriative pool, we need to have your ability to have assurance that there will be water always. And so the, you know, the management of this basin is imperative to where our management does not create a bureaucracy, but gives us the ability to act when we need to act. You know, if we're coming out of a drought, which I don't know if we know, and water becomes available, we need to act on it. We need to store it. And I think that going through this process of both, you know, 6 and 9 will give us a real good look at the health and quality and quantity that this basin can utilize. Anyway, thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. I'll turn it over to folks online if there are any additional comments or questions.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Justin.
Rod, I didn't mean to interrupt you. If you wanted to speak, I do have a little time constraint. I need to leave in a couple minutes.
I do want to speak.
On the screen.
Go ahead.
Well, I won't get in the way of, and frankly, you know, I appreciate everybody's comments so far, and I don't have too many disagreements with them. I would like to better understand the opportunities we've missed. I would like to understand how such a planning effort would integrate with existing and past planning efforts. And I'm thinking in particular the Chino Basin Water Bank that we're a member of, as well as Cucamonga, IUA in Ontario. It's just to make sure that we don't duplicate efforts and expenses associated with those efforts. I think our biggest concern is just the approach on these items. For the Water Quality Committee, for instance, just quoting from our existing Program Element 6 and our existing OBA implementation plan, quote, Water Master will form an ad hoc committee, hereafter Water Quality Committee, to review water quality conditions in the basin and to develop cooperative strategies and plans to improve water quality in the basin. And the committee will also meet regularly with regional board staff to recommend cooperative efforts for monitoring groundwater quality and detecting water quality anomalies. I see no reason why we can't have the Water Quality Committee convene to discuss and come up with a recommendation for this coming fiscal year budget in this regard, rather than making that decision at this time, particularly, you know, the recommendation to move forward already. I do have some questions on water quality in terms of the shift over to a focus on MCLs and emerging contaminants. We, you know, obviously all of our public agencies do a lot of this work. We have associations tracking emerging contaminants as well as emerging, probably more so emerging regulations. I think the American Water Works Association on the federal level, AQUA on the state level. And so I want to make sure that we're not duplicating any of those efforts, and that we come to agreement as public agencies as to Water Master's role. Appropriate role in regard to these areas. So I think our greatest concern from Montevista's perspective is just how this is being approached. We've any committee that's or even any meeting on these topics that's scheduled, we'll participate in. Budget proposals for future years, we want to fully understand how our share of that those budget expenditures would provide benefit in return for the ratepayers who are paying for it. So I think that's the basis of my comments.
Thank you, Justin. Ron, did you still have comments that you wanted to share?
Yeah, just real quick, to Justin's question about missed opportunities. I recall a few years back there was a slug of water that Metropolitan had available to Southern California agencies, and I think that the term I use, kind of springboarding off of comments from fellow committee members, is just don't think we're nimble enough. I think we got some of that water in the ground at the time, but I think that it's important that we have the framework, we have the understanding in place so that the member agencies, the wholesalers, if water's available, can really act quickly in that regard. So I'm very supportive of this moving forward. I do think that on the water quality side of things as well, that the sources that Metropolitan's looking at, for example, and combining Colorado River water and state water, for example, I think we need to have an idea what that means to us as a basin from a, I think Peter mentioned, salt nutrient management plan perspective. But one quick question I had was to Peter on Wildermuth had the three tranches of water, the kind of the local water, the storage and recovery, and then the third tranche, as I recall anyway, water bank. And so this planning effort on program element number 9 would address criteria as it relates to water bank as well? Because that's my question. Beyond storage and recovery.
The short answer is yes, Ron. Short good. Answer is yes.
Very, very good. Thank you. That wonderful. Was it, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Mr. Birch, you may have one more.
Just a couple comments that were made that made me think about something. That we talk about Metropolitan is probably that biggest big opportunity. That's the one there. They're watching us. They watch what we do in this region. They realize that there's a huge, it's just my perspective, there's a huge opportunity in the Chino Basin. They know that, but they also frankly think we're a bunch of wackadoodles sometimes. So I think we need to do everything we can to get everything circled around being a business-like approach on what we have, what the opportunity is, and what we're willing to do consistently so that we can go out and market that to parties and like Metropolitan or others and say, this is exactly the rules that we're going to follow and we're going to commit to. And I think if we can do that, that's what I hear that we're trying to put together here. I think it gives us a huge amount of opportunity and power. So just thank you.
And I would expand that point a little bit to say that, part of what Watermaster is required to do in the peace agreement is to put out a request for proposals for storage and recovery programs. We can't really put out a request for proposals if we don't have the parameters, the template of what a proposer is supposed to follow. That is on our mind. That is on our sights. That is something that we intend to do probably within the next fiscal year. As soon as we can get answers to those questions, we're going to be putting that RFP up and show the Mets of the world and anybody else who's interested that this basin can do business.
Wonderful. Last call for folks either in the room or on the screen.
Hi, Mr. Chair. This is Chris with Ontario. I wanted to say something really quickly.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Again, I just wanted to mention Ontario shares Bonavista's concerns about the approach. Like we mentioned last week, we think Watermaster already more than adequately meets the water quality management requirements of the judgment. And for the storage and recovery master plan, we think it'd be more beneficial to wait until there was a storage and recovery project that's coming in front of us. There is nothing right now. And so we hope that we could reach consensus before we move on to these actions. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chris. Any others? All right, hearing none. Peter, a lot of advice was provided today. And I know advice was provided at the pool level as well, without being repeated here today. Hopefully that's enough for you to share with the board for them to consider next week.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
All right, moving on from item C, that gets us to our reports and updates section. And the first one is Watermaster Legal Counsel, and I saw Brad online. Go for it, Brad.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, great. I do have a few updates to the report that was given last week at the pool committees. So I will skip to those updates unless there are questions on any of the other items that are listed. Initially, we have a couple of hearings listed here, the January 20 hearing and then the March 17th hearing that's on calendar. We also received yesterday a filing by the City of Ontario challenging Watermaster's November 2022 approval of the 2022-23 assessment package based on the treatment of the dry year yield takes in that assessment package. That hearing has been calendared at this time for March 21st. Second, on the Court of Appeal case, the first one that's listed there, which is the appeal from the court's April 22, 2022 order related to the settlement agreement among the ag pool and the appropriative pool. We did on Tuesday get an order from the Court of Appeal, which denied the motion from Monta Vista and Ontario, which Chino joined in, that would have, in their words, corrected the caption, but would have excluded Watermaster from participating as a respondent in that case. The Court of Appeals order came out on Tuesday, and that denied that motion and found that Watermaster is properly a respondent in that appeal. So as to the other items that are listed on the agenda, no updates since last week's report. Happy to take any questions on any of the items.
Thank you, Brad. Questions or comments for Brad on the legal counsel report? Seeing none, thanks, Brad. That gets us to item B, is our engineer report. Is it Andy?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Just a quick reminder, if you look down to your future meetings at Watermaster, there are two technical meetings, the Ground Level Monitoring Committee meeting on the 2nd of March at 9 a.m. at Watermaster, where we'll be talking about a recommended scope and budget for next fiscal year and the next steps in the developing of a subsidence management plan for Northwest MZ1. And then on the 8th of March, the Prado Basin Habitat Sustainability Committee will be having its meeting to discuss a recommended scope and budget for the next fiscal year as well. So just quick reminders. Happy to take any questions.
Wonderful. Anything on the engineer's report today? All right. That gets us. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
That gets us to Joe's CFO report. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. I have nothing new to report.
You're going to still ratchet the budget way down or save a ton of money next year?
Last time.
I don't believe that was the savings.
Less than 20 million?
$19,999. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
I guess you say questions for Joe. I didn't hear a lot of buy-in on the $20 million number, Joe, so a lot of work to do. Item D is our GM report. Peter.
Mr. Chairman, my report is the same as at the committees last week. The IUA general manager has asked for any comments on the project description for the OBMP to be turned in by the 20th of February. That's all I have.
And those would go right to the IUA GM?
To IUA, yeah.
Perfect. Questions for Peter? And there is no other?
There is no other.
All right.
Thank you.
There's written reports of from IUA in the packet. Is there any oral reports? Any other member agency reports?
This is Christiana Daisy from Inland Empire Utilities Agency. I do have a quick report if there is interest.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So this is in addition. Good morning, everybody. This is in addition to the written reports that were submitted. And I just wanted to provide a quick report on water supply conditions as we know them currently. So on February 3rd, Metropolitan informed its member agency managers that there is a recent increase in the state water project allocation. If you recall, it was 5%. It was increased to 30%, and it's sufficient to effectively end the emergency water conservation program. If you recall, several of our agencies on this side of Metropolitan System is known as a state water project dependent member agency. There are six of us, and we are one of the six agencies that are dependent on the state water project system. And so anything that impacts the state water project system directly impacts these six agencies. So Metropolitan also intends to recommend to their board to rescind the volumetric limits and mandatory restrictions under this emergency water conservation program at their March meeting. They also indicated that they don't expect to assess any penalties going forward under this program in 2023. We also want to let you know that MET is optimistic that the state water project allocation will continue to improve, and that would allow them to avoid implementing any region-wide allocation starting in July, but are encouraging and being cautious to the member agencies that we be prepared in case there is an allocation next year. We'll continue to review, MET will continue to review their region-wide water shortage allocation plan with workshops scheduled through March and a board action in April if necessary. IUA will also move forward with preparations for potential allocations. We'll be meeting with interested retail agencies to review its allocation model. I also wanted to offer that at our IUA's board workshop on March 1st, we are going to have Metropolitan Water District's manager of Colorado River Resources, Bill Hazenkamp, give an update on the Colorado River negotiations and conditions. And this is particularly interesting to us, even though we are a state water project dependent MET member agency. We are working with Metropolitan to increase the flexibility of the plumbing so we could get some water from Diamond Valley Lake. And so that could be a possibility to eventually receive some Colorado River if needed. So that's it for my report. I also did want to reinforce, I have been listening to the discussions of knowing what huge opportunities we do have here in the Chino Basin. And we are having discussions with Metropolitan to influence the outcome where they may be interested in looking to partner with the Chino Basin folks to potentially store water, because they're starting to look at places where they need to put that water, and they're looking to put it within their service area rather than outside the service area. So we're initiating some of those discussions. So I just wanted to reinforce that this is, as I've heard Chris say, front and center on their radar. So thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your report. Any questions or comments? All right, wonderful. Are there any other MET member agency reports today? Hearing none. Any additional committee member comments from today? None in the room. Any online? Hearing none. Any other business? Also hearing none. There is not a closed session today. Future meetings here at Watermaster are listed on your agenda. And we will go ahead and adjourn our meeting today. It is 10:04. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.